With 70 years of wailing behind you, it's wailing season now. Do you still get excited?
I do. I love to watch whales. I enjoy them. I don't know why I could be out and watch them for hours, you know, be out there in amongst them.
Whaling Captain Tom Brower Sr. of Barrow.
There's a thrill, seems like it comes down my spine just like that.
Twice a year, for thousands of years, the coastal people of northern Alaska have hunted bowhead whales. Every spring, whaling crews move the skin-covered boats, tents and camping equipment, and the harpoons and floats and other whaling gear out to the lead, open water off the shore fast ice. There are 9 whaling villages now: Point Hope, Point Lay, Wainwright, Barrow, Nuuksut, Kaktovik, Gamble, Savunga, Kivalina, and Whales. This Chinook program is the first in a series on whaling, focusing especially on whaling in Barrow, for things are done just a bit differently in each community, and differently now than in the past.
When it's getting to be time for whaling, what do women have to do?
Well, if it was in the old days,
Sadie Neacock,
they would throw away, first thing, all the old clothing that whaling captain owned, and make all new ones for him to put on when he started to going out whaling. And all his gear had to be cleaned. His cellar had to be clean because of the, the story goes that the whale knows where he's going to land, and he's got some kind of sense that he can know the place where he's going to land. And if it's clean, then he's ready for that whaling crew. But these are what we grew up with, you know, as little girls. But comparing it today, well, it's entirely different. You know, it's whaling captains will get their gear ready and the hand-me-down information. I don't know how far it goes, but my husband and I are, you know, we're over 67, 60, almost 68, and we still go try and follow the old tradition, where if we're going to teach our boys and our young sons, we have to pass down all this information for the information, you know. Clean what you have because it's a sacred animal to us. And get their clothes clean, their area where they're going to store the meat clean, and as much as possible keep away from something that will anger you, or arguments, or try and keep peace in your family before you, you know, when you go out to a whaling camp, have your people be happy. And they say, if they're the old people in those times used to say that the whales know when they're being talked about. And they sense it. They won't come near if you're fighting over them.
We know that there are spirits of the whale out there. We believe that.
James Mumialuk Nariak is a whaling captain in Barrow.
There's not so much ceremony, but cleaning of the cellar is one activity that is necessary if you are going to be hopefully successful. Because the saying is the whales on their way up are looking at the place where they are going to be staying, okay? So we still do believe in that. We clean the cellars, take everything out, put fresh snow on the bottom of it, get it ready. You know, the spirit of the animals is still pretty strong. Not just the whales, but the whales are more important. Whaling is... it's involved the whole community. Barrow, Wainwright, Nerxit, Barrow, even an Anaktiwut Pass, who's inland. It's something that creates a cohesiveness of people. In the whaling crew, we have to function together. We have to depend on each other to be a successful whaling crew. And you have, what, 20 to 30 whaling crews out there here in the village. And if you begin to look at the dependency of each of these people upon the person who's next to them, it's something that doesn't happen in New York City, or, you know, or maybe it happens, yeah, I don't know, but it's unlikely that it happens down there. But not so much the whaling crews, the whole community is involved in the preparations. There's an aura of awe when the whaling crew is going down the street. The vehicles stop, the whole people stop and look. And, it's just the feeling of reverence toward a whaling crew. It's something that it just happens, you know. Because it's so important that we have the Moktakon. You gotta have that that nourishment in your body. You know, the Jews have the kosher meals, and you know, for some people the black eye beans and grits and cabbage and corned beef. For us, it's the whale and the muck, the pork, the meat.
In those days, oh my gosh, a man and his wife would go out there with a boat and catch a whale.
Sadie Nayakonk.
Nate and I remember one. This Numnik and his wife, James Numnik and his wife, Marion, went out there, you could see it. And they come in, they went out there and shot this whale, got it. He had just, he and his wife out there. They had a whaling crew. But in those days, I guess, if you knew where to hit the whale, you know, and your ammunition was good, and you were sure that you were going to get it, that was all it took. But today, there's so many ways of checking your ammunition. Sometimes it's faulty, which can cause you to just strike a whale, and your bomb didn't go off, your harpoon didn't set in right, or both your gunner and your spearman, you know, didn't go off at the same time. And if there's no crew nearby to help you out, then that you're just lost. So these are things that exist today, where our attitude up here on land, it's supposed to be pleasant and pull for your whalers out there, which we're trying to do. And there's so many things to to think about. All you do is just listen and pray to goodness that someone out there gets one, because if they do get one, then we all get to taste it, you know. Even though today you did get a little potful. When Nate and I were young, God, you got enough to supply you for at least 6 months, you know. Compared to the size of Barrow today, there were no more than 300 or 400 people when we were growing up. You could count the houses in both hands just about, you know.
Now there are dozens of houses and apartments and thousands of residents. Barrow, Utqiagvik, is a town, a small city, not really a village. Quite different from Sadie and Nate Niacock's youth, and from the time her father, Charles Brower, established the Cape Smythe Whaling and Trading Company and hunted the bowheads for commercial purposes. Charles Brower taught his sons, including Tom Brower Sr., who we heard at the beginning of this program, the mechanics of the hunt, while his wife passed on to Tom and Sadie and the others a sense of the tradition of whaling as a sacred activity. Now, many of the old ways are optional. Some crews observe more of the ceremonies of the past than others, and some ceremonial activities of subsistence whaling have changed and adapted.
But on the day the whaling season starts, they do it in church. They have a special prayer meeting for all the whalers, you know, which is nice feeling. Both, all the churches do that. All their, to all their members. But each crewman, I mean each captain can do it if he wants to observe. But they make a promise that on the days that they're whaling, they will do away with the Sabbath day and choose a day when they're not out there, when the whales are not available, and make up for it. Because even when the whales are starting, they don't observe any day to be a special day, but a whaling day.
Sadie Niacock, James Mumialik Nariak, and Tom Brower Sr. of Barrow, talking about some of the traditions of whaling. We'll have more on whaling, outfitting a crew, the equipment that's used to pursue the huge mammals, the dangers of going after the bowhead on the next Chinook. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.